You're listening to WSIU, powered by you. The Science Center of Southern Illinois is kicking off another season of Science Cafes. The next is coming up February 25th, where you can learn more about creating an edible landscape. Joining us to talk about that is the presenter for this month's Science Cafe, Karen Midden, who is the Associate Dean in SIU's College of Agricultural Sciences. She's also a professor in the college and a landscape architect. Karen, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
An edible landscape. I think of, you know, things that I could maybe just walk right out my front door, pick something, and eat it. Am I on the right track?
You are on the right track. It's replacing your flowering trees and ornamental ones that stay evergreen with something that you could just pick off the vine.
I know a lot of people, when they look at landscaping, when they look at how they want their home to look, when you talk about a project like edible landscaping, it can be a little bit daunting. They're not sure where to start. What would you suggest?
Well, I actually would suggest starting very small at first because, as you know, sometimes it can be quite labor-intensive in planting fruits and vegetables. So I'd start off real small, maybe using just some containers or looking at one spot in your yard that's sunny, and then go from there.
This is something that we're hearing a lot about. People are looking at farm-to-table. They're trying to buy local and, in this case, grow local. What are some of the benefits to having this available in this community, and then I'm sure that this has, you know, great effects in more urban communities as well.
Definitely. Well, there's many benefits. One is just, like you just mentioned, the taste of having it fresh, the convenience of it. There's a lot of issues and concerns about food safety, and especially in urban areas, the food safety, your cost, of course. And then there's that added benefit that I think plants bring into your life of just being able to connect to nature and go out, and it's kind of a therapy, I think, working with plants, and if you have children, engaging your children in understanding where food comes from.
This moves away from the traditional garden. I know when I was growing up, we had a garden in the backyard, and you had to gather up all your stuff to go out and work in the garden. But this seems like something that you're wanting to maybe fit into your normal day-to-day lifestyle, where it's just a part of who you are and where you are.
Yes, absolutely. It makes it more convenient, and it also kind of gives a different plant palette, if you will, to the plants that you would have in your landscape. But it is replacing the traditional one. So there's different types of edible landscapes. Some people actually replace their entire landscape with something edible as they move forward and have the time to do so. And others may just tuck some edible plants in with their existing one.
How sustainable is this? And that may be the wrong word for me to choose, but I think of seasons and growing seasons. So are there things that people can plant that are going to be more perennial? They'll be there each and every year?
Oh, there are. I mean, if you're looking at trees, of course you have your nut and fruit trees, and they do make a lot more, or there are more dwarf varieties available that would fit into your yard. And there's berries, and like blueberries or grapes, that are perennial. And then there are perennial vegetables as asparagus that offer year-round beauty.
Sure. You mentioned getting kids involved. I know my kids love being involved in the garden that we have. Do you see a change in the culture as you watch young people coming up and wanting to be more involved with sustainability and keeping things local and making sure things are as fresh as possible?
I do. I have visited schools from New York in Upper Manhattan. I visited a school. They had a green roof on the 10th floor, and it was the garden spot for the kids where they spend a lot of time. And they have a chef that comes out and teaches them how to cook. I've talked with a kindergarten teacher in California, and their kids are very involved in it, and they take the message home. And even around here, I'm going to visit Lewis School in a couple of weeks and planting something for the kids. So yes, I see that trend.
Certainly a big part of the education. How does Southern Illinois University's program encourage people to do things like that, the future leaders in agriculture?
Well, we do have an organic farm, and we have numerous field trips from local schools, and we sell, the organic farm sells their produce also at the farmer's market. And we have open houses frequently on our green roof where we do grow some vegetables, and just other outreach programs, like I mentioned, I'll be visiting with Lewis School.
Sure. Getting people to know more and more about that. When it comes to the landscaping, how can people plan something like this? If they want to get started, maybe they've already taken that first step. They've bought the blueberry bush, or they've bought a few things they can put here and there. Do you have a plan or a recommendation for them as they really jump into this?
It's critical, first of all, to really look at your site and make sure that you have, you need to understand what plant you're planting and look at its sunlight requirements and its nutrient requirements and its water requirements. So I think that's the key element. So just walk around your yard and say, you know, here's a good sunny spot. If you don't have one in the ground, you know, don't be confined to that. You could always put something in a container on your patio or on your deck. So that's key. And then if you do have a spot that is sunny but the soil is poor, especially in southern Illinois, you know, I'd really highly recommend amending your soil, adding some compost material or something to it. So you need to understand the nutrient requirements for that.
And you can learn more about all of that coming up at the Science Center's Science Cafe. It's Thursday, February 25th. You can get more information at yoursciencecenter.org. Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you.